Yesterday was Valentine's Day, and as you well know, and I knew we were going to be doing the baby dedication today. So with all that love in the air, I didn't want to talk about the destruction powers of pride. I just couldn't find a good segue into that. So I wanted to talk about the amazing power of love. I thought it would be a good time to just use that love that's in the air and talk about love. It is the time of Valentine. So let's do that today. I heard a fun joke I want to share with you. It was about children. They were playing, and they wanted to play marriage. They wanted to do a wedding, wanted to play wedding, love and marriage. And so the children got together, and they assigned parts. There was the preacher, and there was the bride, and then there was the groom, and the matron of honor, and then there was the best man, and everyone had their part to play. Well, they did the procession, you know, the bride came in, and they turned, and they faced one another and held hands, and you know, like you do in a wedding. And it was come time for the preacher to say something, but he didn't know what to say. So one of his buddies said, "Just say something out of the Bible." So his mind went wild trying to think of something that was in the Bible. He remembered something his pastor had said the previous Sunday. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I was thinking, how true that is. You know, when you're in love and in marriage, there's a lot of forgiveness that is required, right? And God has to sometime even step in, because we do some things that he has to forgive us of. So, Father, forgive them, but they know not what they do. And I'm thinking, I've been married this year 48 years. This June, 48 years. And, yeah, that's something to boast about, right? And I was thinking about this still, though. I sometimes don't know what I'm doing after 48 years. So, Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they do. But you know you're in love when you're in love. You know it because something's happening inside of you. Your whole being is responding to love. So you know you're in love. And what I want to communicate to you today is tell you the power, the amazing power that love is. It is the most amazingly powerful, greatest emotion that God has given us. It can do so much. And I want to talk about that just a little bit today. So let's start this way. I want to ask you, if I came down with a microphone and asked you to tell me what love is, what would you say? If you had to tell me a couple of sentences, a paragraph of what love is, what is your definition of love? I'm going to tell you mine as we work through our talk today, but be thinking about that. What is really love to you? Now, I want to ask you to give me a showing of hands if you are in love this very moment. If you're in love this moment, would you raise your hand and just let me see your hands raised up if you're in love this very... Look at that. See, it's just about universal. I mean, just about everyone in here, unless you're just a little guy, you raised your hand. Because love is one of those things you cannot live life and not experience. It's impossible to live life and not experience love. You cannot avoid love if you're alive, if you're a person. Every person in the world experiences love. Love. One day your child and your grandchild will experience love just like you experience love. Just like you have experienced love in the past, and just like you will experience love in the future, and like you're experiencing love right now. Your child and your grandchild will experience love. And if you didn't raise your hand, and husbands, I hope you all did, but if you didn't raise your hand and you're not in love, you will be. You will be, because this is an unavoidable thing. It's impossible to go through life and not love. Jesus wired us to love. Father God wired us to love. The Holy Spirit is in us to love. We are wired to love. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says that we were created in His likeness. We're created in His image. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and verse 16 says that God is love. It's impossible for you to be a person and not feel and be love. Love is in you. Love fills you. You receive love. You give love. It's impossible to go through life without love. Love is an amazing puzzle part. It's a part of the puzzle of the abundant life God has for you to live. For you to experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give you, you need love. You need to give love. You need to receive love because love is wired in you. If you're going to experience and the dreams and the visions that God has for you, the plan that He has for your life, it's going to require love. God has designed and developed love for good. It's a good thing. He has developed it for you to make your life good. It's love. Love is an amazing, huge, magnificent doctrine, massive doctrine in the Scriptures. I don't know if you knew this. This is one of those preacher statistics, but did you know that in the New International Version of the Bible, the translation that we mostly use here, that the word love is found in it 505 times. 505 times. In the Old Testament, it's found eight different words, uses eight different words in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic words in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we have three root words that are translated and formed into 11 Greek words in the New Testament. So there's 19 different words in the Bible translated love that comes out to 505 times that the Scriptures talk about love. So what do we learn from that? Well, we learn that there's a lot of different ways to love. And there's a lot of different ways to receive love. But one of the main things that I want to communicate to you is that love changes. Love evolves. Love gets more and more powerful in your life when you really understand love. Jesus talked about this, and he talked about how love influences our entire being. He says that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Love affects every aspect of your being. And it also affects how we love and communicate with people in our whole being as well. When you love someone, it requires a strength or a physical aspect of yourself. You physically love the person, not only sensually, but you love the person. You want to be with the person. You want to do things for the person. You want to communicate with the person. You want to be around the person. And so there's this physical aspect, this strength that we love people with as well. And then, of course, there's the mental aspect of love, where we love a person with our minds. They get into our head. They're in our thoughts. We go through the day. We can't not think about the person that we love. That's what happens is they get into our heads, in our thought life. We want to think about things we can do for them, things we want to do with them. We just think about the person. And they influence our minds. And what I've done on our artwork here is with a heart, I tried to project that on the outer layer, there would be like the strength layer or the physical layer. And then as you start coming in, then there's the mental area. And then the next level would sort of represent the soul area. And then finally, where the arrow is penetrated, what that would kind of be would be the heart. That's what I was wanting to project there. So we love them with our physical strength, and we love them with our minds. And then we'll love them in our soul dimension. Now, your soul dimension is your subconsciousness. It's that part of you that just does stuff all by itself without you thinking about it or without you making it do it, like crying. You don't plan to cry, but you'll cry if you love. It's a part of us where you laugh. When you love, you're going to laugh. And you don't plan to laugh, you just laugh because it's a subconscious reaction that we do out of our soul dimension. You're going to get angry if you love. And it's going to come out of that. You don't plan to get angry. You don't even want to get angry. But in that soul dimension, it's going to subconsciously respond. You're going to feel emotions. There's going to be even sometimes you might want to hate when you love. But this is how it works. This is how it works. And it works in the soul dimension. So we love people with our souls as well. And then there's the heart dimension. And when someone penetrates that heart, when somebody gets into the heart, they have really gotten down into your very being. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, guard that heart with all diligence. Here's why. Out of it proceed the issues of life. Every issue that you will ever experience in life or that you have ever experienced in life come out of your heart. And when somebody gets into that heart dimension, when they penetrate into that dimension, they become an issue in your life. And that can be a good issue. Or that can be a not so good issue. But they become an issue in your life when you love. Here's why. Let me give you this illustration, if I can. I was trying to think of an illustration. I've used this once before. I wanted an illustration that I could use that would show layers, you know. And I thought about an onion, but I knew that an onion and love just really didn't seem to connect. So I'm going to use a sticky pad, and I could have written on here, you know, love, honor, cherish, you know, and all the things that love involves. But when we love someone, what we begin doing is we begin peeling layers off of our life or out of our heart, and we hand it over to the person that we want to love us back. And we're hoping that they're doing the same thing, that they're layering themselves and giving it back to you. And so we give them layer after layer after layer after layer of our lives, of our heart, of our soul, of our mind, of our physical strength. And we're layering ourselves layer by layer by layer by layer. We're giving them our life. And eventually, according to the amount of life that you give them, you're giving them power. And you're giving them control. And you're giving them a force because they have become an issue in your life. Now this person has the power in your life to take you to the heights of joy and happiness, or to take you to the pits of hell and sorrow and sadness. It's according on the person. If the person is a person that should have your heart and that should have your life, this is a good thing. If this is a person, though, but a person who incorrectly, a correct person will take you high and cause your dreams to come true, cause your life to be happy and be blessed. But a person who's not who is an incorrect person, if they have this kind of control on your life, you're going down. You're going to destruction. You're going to hurt. You're going to pain. It's all according unto who you give the power, who you give your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength to. And here's the point that I really want us to get today. The person who you have given your love to is the person with the most power and force in your life. The person you give your love to, you layer yourself to, layer by layer by layer, is the person who has the most power and force in your life to take you to your dreams or to take you to hell. Literally. Now, I want to talk about this. I want us to understand this a little bit as I work through this particular aspect of it. See, this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, when he was questioned by the lawyer about love. He said, what is the greatest commandment? He wasn't questioning him about love. He was questioning, what is the greatest commandment? What's the most important commandment? What commandment has the most force, the most power? And here's what Jesus said. We're going to look at a scripture here. It's in the book of St. Mark, chapter 12, verse 30. It says, love. This is what Jesus said. Love. Here's the greatest. It's most powerful. The most one with the most force. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus is saying here, and he also likens this to how we love people. We love people. Love people as ourselves. But in loving people, there's always the aspects, those four aspects as well. The strength, the mind, the soul, and the heart. And what I want is what he's saying to us is that make sure that the person that you love is the person at the top. What he's saying is love God. If you're gonna give somebody that kind of power, if you're gonna give someone that kind of force, if you're gonna give somebody that potential to control your life, make sure it's God. Make sure that at the top of the list of your love is God. If you want anyone with that kind of force and that kind of power and that kind of influence upon your life, make sure it's God, because God's not going to misuse your love. He's going to go take your love and cause your love to grow and grow and grow. Now, in the Song of Solomon, the Song of Solomon paints us this beautiful picture of love. The Song of Solomon is interpreted in two different ways. It's interpreted as Christ, the love between Christ and his love, the church, the bride, his bride. But it's also interpreted as love between a man and a woman. So what I wanted to do was extract a couple of verses from the Song of Solomon, the last chapter, chapter 8, and talk about this amazing power of love. Because to whom you give this amazing power will control your life. will take you up or will take you down. So let's draw from the Song of Solomon here just a little bit. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6 and 7, here's what it says. Place me like a seal over your heart, or like a seal on your arm. Now, this is the woman saying this. This is the woman saying this. You can take that down for a moment. Let me just make a couple of comments here. What is she saying? She's saying, I want you to hold me in your heart like you hold me with your arms. I want to feel that tightness. I want to feel that sealing. I want to know that you adore me. I want to know that you cherish me. I want to know that you love me. I want to feel your protection in your heart like I feel it in your arms. And then she goes on and she says this, for love is as strong or as powerful as death. Now that is powerful. That is strong. And just as no one's going to escape death, no one's going to escape love. It is powerful. It's jealousy. Love's jealousy. It's jealousy, unyielding as the grave. It, jealousy, burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. In other words, if you try to buy love, if you try to buy love, you're going to make a mockery of yourself because love can't be bought. Love is as strong as the grave. George Jones sang a song. He stopped loving her today. They placed a wreath upon his door. And soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today. And what this song is about love until death do you part. Love is as strong as the grave. It is designed this way. This is the way God has developed it, that we love until the grave. It's as strong as the grave. And when love gets you, it grips you. It grips you so tight. And it takes you. And it starts taking you to high places. It can take you to joy and happiness. Our love can take you down to sadness and jealousy, to where it's burning and it's blazing. It's according on the person to whom you hand your love, who has the power over your life, who you have peeled off the layers of your life and handed them to. They now have the power. And if it's the correct person, they're going to take you to your dreams. They're going to make life good. They're going to take you to the abundant life that Jesus has for you. But if you've handed it to the incorrect person, they're going to take you to the pits of jealousy and to hell. They're going to take you down, even to destruction. Ask Samson. Samson handed his love layer by layer by layer to Delilah. She took it, she misused it, and we'll talk about it later. But it destroyed him. This is the power, the amazing power of love. The amazing power of love. It's so powerful. It's as strong. It's as powerful as the grave. And then it talks about love. It says that love brings with it its jealousy. Now, I want to really point this out to you because I want you to see something about jealousy. It's impossible to love without jealousy because jealousy comes with love. Now, let me show you the scriptures. In Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 says this. For love is as strong as death. And then it says this. And its jealousy. Love's jealousy. Jealousy is a part of love. It comes with a package. Love, jealousy comes in. It's jealousy, unyielding as the grave. Unyielding as the grave. When love comes in, jealousy comes in. And it grips you and it begins to gnaw at you. Jealousy gnaws just like as love comes in and love begins to affect your physical being. Jealousy does as well. Jealousy comes in, and this is why when people go through these bad breakups and these heartbreaking situations and divorces and those kinds of things where there's this jealousy aspect, they'll get sick physically. They'll lose weight. It gnaws at the physical aspects of a person's life, their strength. And then it gnaws at their brain, at their mind. They have these images and these thoughts. they have these images that jealousy begins to plant in the mind. And it comes with a package. It comes with love. And then in the soul dimension, they cry. They don't plan to cry. They don't want to cry. They cry because jealousy stirs up these emotions of anger, these emotions of hate. You don't want to hate, but because of jealousy, and it stirs up the emotion of hate, it comes out of the soul dimension subconsciously. And then it gets the heart. And the issues of life, you say things you wished you had never said. You do things you wished you had never done. And it begins to work on you and your issues of life. You'll find that when jealousy comes in, it affects and it gnaws at your vision for your life, your dreams for life. When a person has that kind of power and they cause you to be jealous, this is what's going to happen to us in life. Love is as powerful as jealousy, as the grave. Then he says that love, you can't be bought. It can't be bought. Well, that's what the Beatles said, right? You can't buy me love, right? That's what they said. So you can't. But they got it from Solomon because you can't buy love. And let's read that verse. It's in verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house or everything the person has for love, it would be utterly scorned. In other words, if somebody offered everything they had for love, they would just be scorned. You can't buy love. Now, I said earlier that I was going to give you my definition of love and compare it with your definition and see how we agree. After saying these things about love, here is my short definition of love. Love is this amazing power that God has wired into every single person. And we take that power, that love, and we relinquish it. We hand it over to the person we want to love us. And by so doing, we're giving them permission to release that love back on us. Love is taking the most amazing power over your life and handing it over, relinquishing it to the person you want to love and you want to love you, and giving them permission to take that amazing power and releasing that power back on you to take you up, or it will bring you down. Now, your hope when you do that, when you layer yourself off like that, is that it'll take you to fulfilling your dreams and the abundant life and happiness and joy. But misused, it's used the other way around. And it will bring you down to destruction. It will bring you down to destruction. It's easy to find in the scriptures love stories where love was taken and misused. It's easy. They're all over the place. They begin at the very beginning of the Bible with Adam and Eve. Adam so loved Eve. He said, "Oh, woman, this is a woman. I'm going to leave everything for this. I love this." And he loved that woman. And the Bible says that she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then she said, "Here, baby, have some. Eat with me." And he did eat. The point that I'm wanting you to see is the whole fall of man, the whole fall of humanity involved love. And men are still falling for love. And women. But that's the power, the amazing power of love. We can talk about Isaac and Rachel. Remember Isaac and Rachel? Isaac is old and his eyes aren't good at all. He's nearly blind. And it's come time to give one of his children the blessing. And he wants to bless Esau. And his wife, Rachel, wants to bless Jacob. So she takes the love that Isaac has given and misuses it to manipulate. And she tells Jacob, which is her favorite, go out into the fields and kill a couple of goats and put some hair on you. And go in there and deceive your dad. It's misused. People take love and they use it to manipulate and they use it to get their way. Love is the power of love. And in the wrong hands, it causes manipulation and it causes all of these elements and troubles and problems in life. We can talk about Samson and Delilah. We all know about that story. Layer by layer, Samson peeled his life off for the love of Delilah, peeling himself off. And little by little, she found his secret as he layered himself off. And she took his secret. She took his love. And she destroyed him. He lost his vision for life. And eventually lost his life because of love. Because of love. How about David and Bathsheba? Talk about David and Bathsheba. Love will cause you to do some of the stupidest things. I mean, think what David did. David killed a man over love. Love for Bathsheba had Uriah the Hittite killed. Love in the hands of the wrong person just will bring you to destruction. Love in the hands of the right person will take you up to the fulfilling of your dreams. And what's amazing is though I looked as I could and looked as I may, I can't find what is called a perfect love in the Bible. In other words, a love in our idea of perfectness, you know, the happy ever after fairy tale kind of love where everything is just great and goes on and on. You never have any problems. You never have any. That's exactly what it is. It's a fairy tale. That is not reality. And you can't find it in the Bible. The only perfect love that you'll find in the Bible is the love of God for you. He will never misuse the love you give him. He will only take the love you give him and take you to your dreams and take you to happiness and take you to joy and take you to this plan that he has for your life. He will never misuse your love. But in reality, even the chosen couple to raise the Son of God, Joseph and Mary, had problems. I mean, remember? Before they even got married, Joseph was going to dump her, right? Put her away privately because she's pregnant. Now, that's a pretty serious situation when you're thinking about marrying a woman. You know, you know that's a problem. That could be a problem. That could be an issue. But when you have love, you work through the issues. That's another power of love. You see, in our concept of perfection and the fairy tale kind of a love, you can't find one of those in the Scriptures. You can't find a love in the Scriptures where you went through it without any kind of problems or any kind of glitches or any kind of potholes or any kind of clefts even. You can't find it, and you're not going to find that in real life. So people, if you're looking for a perfect love, you're in a fairy tale. It's not reality. But is that perfect love anyhow? Is that what perfect love is? See, love is not love. It's not real love until it's tested. And you're going to hit test in love. And what I want you to see is what really perfect love is releasing the power of love to work through the glitches, to work through the potholes, even the clefts of life. All the problems of life, the power of love can get you through them. That's the amazing power of love when given to the correct person. The Bible tells us this amazing story about a guy named Abram and a woman named Sarai. Now, God's going to change their names to Abraham and to Sarah. But initially, they're Abram and Sarai. And they're a young couple, and they get married really young. They live together, you know, happily, you know, they're living together. And God speaks to Abram, and he says, I want you to get out of Ur of the Chaldees, and I want you to go to a land I'm going to show you. Well, he eventually did it. He's slow about it, but he eventually does it. And, you know, and you just imagine now. Now, Abraham is 75 years old. And Sarai, she is 65 years old. And so he comes home one day and he says, baby, I want you to start packing because we're going to be moving. Oh, really? Where are we going, Abe? Well, we're going to follow the Lord. Where are we going to follow the Lord to? Well, I don't know. He just says he's going to show me. Well, what's the house like? We're not going to have a house. We're going to live in a tent. A tent. Now, they're living in a walled city, and she's got her pharmacy where she gets her medications, you know, and she's got her grocery store where she gets her groceries and, you know, and the places that she shops. And, you know, and he's going to take her out to live in a tent. Now, I mean, just think. Do you think that, ladies, that might cause you some discussion with him? A little, at least a pothole in the relationship here. But she does it. But what's amazing is the first thing that happens to them as they get out to this following the Lord thing is a famine comes. Now there's no food. Now there's nothing to drink. And the land is barren and the cattle are dying. I mean, this is a bad time. So now what was Sarai be saying to Abram? What would, if you'd have listened to me, we wouldn't be in this mess. We would have food. We had it in the city. We were out here in the wilderness. We don't have anything. These things are happening, and you know, we're not told about it, but you just know that this is what happens in real life. So what Abram does is he takes the whole bunch of them, and he's going to take them to Egypt. They're going to Egypt, where there's food. That's okay. He's responsible. He's taking them to Egypt. So they're going to Egypt, and they get into the city limits, you know. And he looks at her, and he says, "Baby, you're a good-looking woman. And I, you know what? They kill me for you. What I want you to do, Pharaoh's going to want you. Tell him that I'm your brother. Don't tell him I'm your husband, because he'll kill me. He's going to take you, and I don't, you know, for me. Just do it for me, okay?" And she does it. And Pharaoh does. He takes Sarai and puts her into his harem. Now, here's the kicker, though. He gets rich because of it. Pharaoh blesses his socks off. He becomes a wealthy, wealthy man by pimping his wife. Now that's the common vernacular. That's what we would say today. He pimped it. Now, ladies, how would you feel? How would you feel if your husband pimped you and got wealthy on it? Do you think that would be a problem? And what God did is God moved for him. And we learned there that in the situations where there's a power of love working, God comes in and God does some amazing things for us. He comes in and he helps us and he helped them. And he got Sarah away from Pharaoh, protected her, and got Abram out of there with wealth. He just makes all things work together for good. But anyway, so they're out of there. But what's amazing is he does it again. He does the same thing this time with King Abimelech. They're there, baby. Now, he's going to want you. You're a good-looking woman. Sure enough, he wanted her. He took her. Tell him I'm your brother. Don't tell him I'm your husband. Same thing happens. He pimps her again. He gets even more wealthy. Now, ladies, you can understand maybe once, right? I mean, no? That would have been my answer, too. But twice? I mean, don't you think that could be a problem? Yeah. Now, so they're working through these things because there is this power of love. See, the power of love comes in and it helps you through these horrible cleft times. And to me, that's a cliff. I mean, that's a dead thing for marriage right there, you know. I mean, but they work through it. Now, another thing that happens is Sarah really wanted a baby, and she was barren. And she just couldn't have a child, and she really wanted to raise a baby. So she says, "Abe, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go, Hagar, my slave girl, my servant girl. You know, she's young. She's, you know, 20. I want you to go and sleep with her." Now, this is before the times of artificial insemination. "I want you to go, and I want you to sleep with her. I want you to have a baby. Which is make a baby." And he says, "Okay." So they do. And Ishmael is born. And it did. It is smelling bad in there. I mean, it smells bad in that home now. I mean, it is bad. It stinks. It is really, really bad. I mean, it starts gripping on Sarah's heart and her body and her soul and her mind. And she can't stand it anymore. And finally, she comes to a place of exploding. And she basically says this: "It's either her or me. You take your choice. But she's going or I'm going." God moves in again. And through the amazing power of love, God works them through all of that stuff and straightens it all out. And all the way through their lives, there's this beautiful couple that lived until death did them part. And this amazing story, every time they would hit something, the amazing power of love got them through it. And it took them to the impossible. It took them to their dream. The impossible dream they had. Abram's dream was to have a child, an heir, that would continue on the lineage that God had placed into Abram's heart and to fulfill it. Sarah's dream was to have a child, to have a baby that she birthed, that she nursed, that she raised, and that she could give back to her husband, her beloved husband, whom she wanted to seal, who she wanted him to seal her in his heart, who she wanted to have like that, and give him her a son. That was their impossible dream. The impossible part of it is he's now 100 years old and she's 90. That's impossible. But God takes the power of love, the amazing power of love, and makes the impossible happen. Let me read this to you. Book of Genesis 21, verse 1. Then the Lord did exactly what he had promised Sarah, and Sarah became pregnant. And she gave a son to Abraham in his old age. Now, this is funny because she's 90 and she's saying in his old age. It all happened at the time God had said it would. And Abraham named his son Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old at the time. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. She's a happy woman. Happy woman because of the power of love. Giving her love to the correct person. Brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Not at me, but with me. For who would have dreamed? Who would have what? Dreamed. Love takes you to your dreams. Who would have dreamed? The impossible dream. Who would have dreamed that I would ever have a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. What the power, amazing power of love will do when handed and given to the correct person is take you to your dreams. Power of love. Love is the most amazing, powerful element in your life that God has put into you. And you take it and you relinquish it. You hand it over to a person that you want to love you back. And you say, here, take this. Release it on me. And your prayer is, they'll take you to your dreams. But hand it to the wrong person, they'll take you to the pits of jealousy, the pits of death, the pits of destruction. I want to end with this particular thought. Without love, life is meaningless. Without love, life is meaningless. The Apostle Paul writes about love in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he goes through there and he starts this chapter off by saying, I can speak with the tongue of men and angels, but without love, it means nothing. Life means nothing without love. I can prophesy, I can do all these spiritual things, I can do all this amazing stuff, but without love, it's meaningless. He goes through through 12 verses, and then we're going to read the 13th, but he goes through all of these verses, and what he's saying things like this. He says, without love, I am nothing. Because love makes you who you are and what you are. He says, without love, I gain nothing. Because without love, life's really not worth living. With love, life is worth the living. And he goes all the way down through 12 verses. We're talking about the power of the things of love. Love is gentle. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not record wrongs. Love does not easily anger. And he goes on and on and on and on and on about love. And then he comes to the 13th chapter. 13th verse of the 13th chapter. And he says this. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest, the most powerful, the one with the most force is love. Love is the greatest, the brightest, the hottest flame. It's the one with the most force in your life. It will take you to the heights of joy and happiness and dreams, or it can bring you down to the pit of anger and hurt and death. Just remember this in our lesson for today. Who you give your love to, you are giving them the force to control your life. You are giving them the power to hold your life in their hand. Let's pray.